It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is hit well into center field. That one's carrying out at center. It's out of here. Ohtani with a pinch hit home run. At the plate is Mike Trout. The pitch on its way. It's blasted out to dead center field. Out of here. Ball gets away. He's going to break for the plate. Ball game is over. The Angels with a walk-off win here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
This is the Angels Recap Podcast, a review of the past week in Angels baseball. Here's your host, Trent Rush.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Angels Recap Podcast, episode number 86, as we do a deep dive into what's going on for the rest of this 2021 season, what is to come in 2022, what the offseason is going to look like. And there's a lot to get to here on the Angels Recap Podcast today. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. Angels manager Joe Maddon has had a lot to say over the last couple of days. In particular, he and I have had some good conversations. I'm going to share some of what has come from that. Also, Angels GM Perry Manassian addressed the media just yesterday. So, again, I'm recording this on a Thursday morning. I know we're a day late this week. But GM Perry Manassian talked to the media last night, and I thought there was some really good and interesting things in that. That's why we pushed this a day, so we can get that for you, because I think it's important to hear from the GM. I think it's important to know where the Angels are at right now and what is to come for the Angels. They're in the middle of like an insanely tough stretch right now. I mean, there's no denying what the Angels are dealing with right now. You know, you face the Dodgers. Now you're facing a very good Toronto team. You got the Astros coming up. You got to play the Yankees for a game on a long road trip. I know the road trip isn't exactly the toughest in terms of the teams that you're playing in Detroit, Cleveland, and Baltimore. That's the soft part of the schedule. And then there's another really tough stretch coming up in September, last couple weeks of the season. So you look at what's ahead for the Angels. I mean, it's going to be really, really tough schedule-wise the rest of the way. After, you know, starting next week, I mentioned, you know, the softer schedule. That's it. Like, the rest of the season is pretty tough moving forward after that, just in terms of the kind of teams the Angels are going to be playing the rest of the way. And it's that time right now to see what you got. And the Angels have said they were going to do that right after the deadline. You call up Reed Detmers, and we're seeing Chris Rodriguez has showed some pretty good stuff. I think Patrick Sandoval is having a breakout season. I think Sandoval is doing things to now tell you, hey, this is a guy you can depend on in your rotation moving forward. I think all of that has been good to see. We're seeing, you know, I think Suarez is improving. I think Jaime Barria continues to battle, and we're seeing some of what we saw in 2018 back with Jaime Barria. That part's all been good. But really, this is the time right now. You're going up against all of these tough teams, and ultimately, you got to figure out your pitching staff. And you're going to hear, like, in the next half hour, you're going to hear Joe Maddon and Perry Manassian make the message very clear. It is all about pitching with this team. In fact, when Joe Maddon was just talking the other day about what is to come, this was before Sunday's game. So the Angels had split the first two with the Dodgers. This was right before Reed Detmer's start on Sunday against the Dodgers. Take a listen to Joe Maddon talking about what he's now looking for with these pitchers moving forward the rest of this season.
Well, the real measuring stick for me is our pitchers versus their hitters. That's what I'm really interested in seeing. And for the first two nights, it's worked out pretty well. They got the junior late in the game last night, but overall, Barria and Sandoval have looked really good. Warren pitched really well. Not that he's younger, but Iglesias did his thing again. I've been more curious about the pitching. We're only going to get really good if we pitch. That's it. We'll always, I think, be able to defend ourselves on the field, catch the ball, and provide adequate offense or more than adequate. But if we don't pitch it, you can't beat teams like this. You cannot. Impossible. Ain't going to happen. So that's, I think, so far so good with that. And that's, as we move this thing forward for the rest of this year, my primary concern is pitching and how we react and how these young guys do. That's what we need to know going into the offseason. That's what's going to be the foundation moving forward. Without that, we will languish in the area of 500 for a long, long time.
Reality check right there with Joe Madden. I mean, he's saying things that we know. He's saying things that we've talked about. But it's something that we're now seeing this Angels organization talk about openly, about this is the game plan. There is no secret here. It is about pitching. And I think you can be encouraged by the young guys that have come up. I certainly have been. And I've said the names over and over. You know, from Detmers to Rodriguez, Sandoval, Berea, of course, Suarez. Griffin Canning's done for the season. He's got a back issue. You're hoping that he's okay by the start of spring training so he can compete to be in that mix as well. And when you have Shohei Ohtani as a frontline guy, maybe in the offseason you still go try to get another frontline guy to continue to add to the pitching. Maybe that's a possibility. Maybe it's not. The free agent market isn't overly rich. Like, there's not an ace out there, I think, in the free agent market. Now, there are number twos, but I don't think there's any free agent pitcher available that's better than Shohei Ohtani, I guess is what I'm saying. Now, the one exception to that would be Max Scherzer. We don't know what the price tag is going to be on Max Scherzer. He's an older pitcher at this point. Obviously still effective, and he's doing great stuff with the Dodgers right now. But Scherzer's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. That could be an interesting name to watch moving forward. But I think he's the only real, like, ace guy. I think everybody else is, you know, a two at best. And that's fine. I think when you have Shohei Ohtani, if you were to acquire a two with the young core that you're building, I think that's a good direction to go. You could also explore the trade market. I think there are some good names out there as well. Maybe young, controllable guys that maybe look like a two or a three right now with the upside to maybe being a one. I do think there are some guys like that out there. But there are guys that are very good. Just nobody that I would consider to be better than Shohei. Shohei is the ace. And I think Rodriguez has the stuff to be a frontline guy. I think Sandoval could be a frontline guy. Not saying ace. When I say frontline, I'm talking one or two. I'm talking somebody that you go into a playoff game and you feel good with them on the bump. That's what I'm saying. And I thought it was really interesting as well. You know, you talk about the evaluation of these young guys and what, you know, Joe just talked about, kind of things he's looking for and how important it is to pitch. That's exactly what I asked Perry Manassian about. What exactly is he looking for in these pitchers right now when he's making these evaluations, not just for this season, but for next season as well?
Strikes. Yeah, that's there's a certain mentality. Looking back, you know, I'm one to look back at good teams that I've seen over the years, and, you know, looking at back at the 2002 team here, you know, if you look at the mentality of that, was that the most talented starting rotation in baseball? I guess it's an argument, maybe not, but when they took the mound, you did not know that. So the way they competed, their mindset, the way they attacked hitters, the way they made pitches when they didn't necessarily have their best stuff, those are some of the things that we're talking about on a daily basis. I give Matt and Dom a lot of credit with some of the young guys that have come up and pitched well. I give Jairo a lot of credit in AAA, Buddy and Axe, as far as coordinators go. And you know, I think unsung heroes when it comes to pitching is catching. And, you know, Stas and Zouk are outstanding back there with the fingers. And they deserve a lot of credit too. Since the All-Star break, I think we're sixth in ERA in the American League. And that's something we strive to continue to improve.
It's crystal clear the Angels pitching has been a lot better since the All-Star break. Since the Angels have made changes to the rotation, it's been better. The young guys have come up and they have been better than what was here before them. That's what's happened. And they're only getting better. That's what I like. You know, like Reed Detmers, for example. I know, like, the numbers so far, like, you know, the ERA is not great right now, okay? But just watch Reed Detmers. He's doing little things that you really love. You know, for the fact that he was able to, you know, he made the huge mistake to Albert Pujols, so it's a two-run shot. You know, 3-0, he tried to sneak one by Albert Pujols. You're going to learn a quick lesson in the big leagues. You don't try to sneak anything by a veteran hitter like that, especially someone that's hit as many home runs as Albert has. All right, he's looking for that. And Albert was, you know, the veteran, took advantage of the rookie. Like, that's what happened. But at the same time, I thought it was great to see Detmers not let that rattle him and come back and be able to finish five innings. Chris Rodriguez the very next game against the Toronto Blue Jays. Game one of the doubleheader. Fourth inning, bases loaded. One out, and you're facing George Springer for a third time on a hot day. You know, he was really working. That was clear. And he gets Springer to ground in the double play, and he comes off the mound feeling really good. The Angels escape the jam. I mean, if Springer gets a hit there, at least two runs score. And then who knows what happens after that. The Angels probably don't win that game. But he gets a double play ball. That does end the game. Now, you shouldn't say end the game, but gave the Angels a chance to win the game, which they did. So that part was all great. So those are moments that happen that are much bigger than just like looking at an ERA or a win-loss record or, you know, base number of strikeouts. Watch the game. Those are the emotional moments that are going to remain with these pitchers. That's going to be something positive to build upon. That's going to make them better moving forward. Lessons that happen over the course of a game. And it's especially important with young guys. And we're seeing it happen. And I don't think it hurts having somebody like Alex Cobb in the clubhouse that can almost be like a Crash Davis for these guys. Seriously. I think that is an important thing. But I would say that maybe there's some fans out there that are thinking, okay, wait a minute. You got all these good young pitchers coming up. Well, does that mean the Angels aren't going to be interested in going after more pitching this offseason? You know, because I think that most fans could watch and say you feel good about what's going on here, but you always want more. And that's exactly what Angels GM Perry Minassian said yesterday.
Pitching's always a need. Yeah, until, until they kick me out the door, that pitching is – you'll hear pitching, pitching, pitching. You know, that's something that I think every organization – you know, whether you're in first place by 40 games or in last place, I think you hear the same theme. You know, you need pitching. You need not only guys that are elite at what they do, but you need depth. And with the amount of injuries and turnover there are in today's game, you know, nutrition's really important. And to have different options. And that's why it's so important. They're just pitching programs, you know, from – major leagues through the minor leagues to be on the same page and not only pitching but catching, you know, to be on the same page and from the major leagues to AAA to AA to high A to low A. Obviously those players are in different stages, but to use the same language and certain expectations, to set those expectations early are really important, and that's what we've done so far.
Obviously, it's tempting to want to talk a lot about the future. You understand it. Because just where the Angels are at right now, hey, a game under 500 at the time we're recording this podcast, and you're looking at the schedule and you're thinking, okay, you know, there's going to be a way for them to maybe get a couple games over 500 over the next 10 days or so. And how tough it's going to be to be a 500 team this year, considering just how decimated the Angels have been by injuries. And I give credit to Angels GM Perry Minassian, who said, hey, everyone's got to deal with injuries, and we're looking at a whole organization that's trying to rise above that. Kudos to him on that. But, I mean, it's not an excuse. It's just the reality. What the Angels have had to deal with injury-wise this year has been incredible, especially when, you know, the bullpen has had the struggles that they have had. It's been a lot to overcome. I would say that you're seeing an Angels team right now at times. I think that might even be overachieving to be where they're at. I mean, there's a lot of good, young, talented, scrappy players. And I think there's some good veterans here, too. Like, I look at Phil Gosselin. We all love the Goose, right? And the Goose is doing a lot of great things. And he this year has been better than what I think anybody could have even expected. And I actually came in with very high expectations for Phil Gosselin. You love Phil Gosselin. When Phil Gosselin is a utility player that's maybe playing three times a week, four times a week, now you love that. But at the same time, when he's an everyday player as your number three hitter for what he was, basically when Jared Walsh was out, that's an incredible ask of a guy that's a veteran journeyman utility player. Phil Gosselin can be that guy, like, you know, the Ben Zobrist type that Joe has had all the success with, you know, in the past. And David Fletcher, to me, is not that guy, because I think David Fletcher has, you know, he's an everyday player. He's got to be at second base, and he's your leadoff guy, in my mind. That's the best you're going to get from David Fletcher, and I think that's what is best for the Angels team as a whole. And I think if this Angels team was healthy, I think Joe Maddon would be the first one to say that. That's what he did, having him as the leadoff man opening day. So all of that, I think, you know, the Fletcher-Zobrist comparison I don't love as much anymore. I like the Phil Gosselin in that role. Phil Gosselin player in that role. And, you know, Juan Lagares has been exceptional. You have guys that I think, are having great seasons, battling, scrapping together, fighting. You love the culture. The culture in the room, if you're not around it, it's hard to see. But I'm just telling you, the way that these guys fight, this part you can see. When you watch Angels games, there's never a game they're out of. Who knows what they're going to do? Heck, on Monday night, down they got one hit. They got Shohei Ohtani got a leadoff triple the first inning of that game. The Angels didn't have another hit the rest of the way until the final seventh inning. And then they end up loading the bases, bringing the tying run to the plate in Shohei Ohtani. That's a never-quit team. You have to load the bases with the guy that you want at the plate. I know they didn't win the ball game, but man, you love to see that group give you a chance when you could have just so easily rolled over down 4-0 when the bats were just silent all night long. They found a way to get themselves back in the mix. You love that. You can't. If you watch the Angels, you gotta love the heart of this group. And that's what tells me that there is a championship culture that is being cultivated here. You know, I think we're going to look back at the 2021 season and we're going to talk about the injuries first. I think you're going to talk about the bullpen. But I think you're going to also talk about how there was a rotation that's being established here. And this is a building block kind of a season that can lead to greatness. And they're not done this year. Like, you know, you need to be healthy. Like, you need Mike Trout back for sure. You need Jared Walsh to get back to what he was doing. You need Joe Adell to keep up what he's been doing. I think Joe Adell has looked like a different guy since he's come up. I talked about him a little bit last week. Really impressed by Joe Adell. I look at Brandon Marsh, and you're saying, okay, well, maybe he's going through some of the same things that Adell went through last year. Building blocks with so many young players. This is a team that's got a core that can be really, really special. And it's the right vibe in the room. The clubhouse vibe feels good. I'm not allowed in the clubhouse, but I'm in the dugout. I'm on the field during batting practice. That vibe is cool. And I'm talking to people that are in the room, and they're telling me what I'm telling you right now. It's a good room. That there are championship bones with this group. But when it comes to Mike Trout, here's Perry Manassian talking about his status and what the Angels plan on doing with Mike Trout, if they're going to shut him down the rest of this year or try to get him to play before year's end.
Mike's working hard to get back. He's working. Calves are tricky. The one thing about Mike is, you know, I've been around a lot of players. I've been lucky enough to be around a lot of players in my career. Haven't been around many that love the game as much as he does. And I mean, he sleeps it, breathes it, eats it. He's doing everything he can in his power to get back as soon as he can. From our end, we will not rush him. You know, we want him to feel good about how his calf feels and to play at his level, you know, when he does come back. So as far as no conversations about shutting him down, we go day to day. And that's basically with anybody that's injured. In my policy, at least, is we go day to day, we communicate, you know, and we go from there.
And Joe Maddon weighed in on this as well, talking about, you know, trying to, you know, keep that balance of you're still fighting for a chance to maybe get into the playoffs, try to sneak in, make a run, and also, you know, monitoring what's best for Mike and what you want to do with him getting back. And he talked about a little bit as to, like, more on why the Angels aren't shutting down Mike Trout for the year.
If you've been injured and you really want to play before the offseason, if it turns out to be that way, you know, whether it's sooner rather than later, You want to go into those off-season months knowing that, hey, I played again, I felt good, everything's fine. So that's always part of it, too. But, yeah, I mean, listen, we're not giving up on anything. Gosh, we just got to be able to get over this, win a couple, lose a couple thing, and really get on some kind of a streak. We do need full complement to do that, I believe. And getting Jared back right now, hopefully getting Mike back relatively soon, and then getting guys like Marsh and Joe Adell, you know, getting them into the flow of things and getting production out of them also. They've shown flashes of it. We need to get that done. But more than anything, I'm looking at Reed Detmers, and there's Berea walking. Our young pitchers got to pitch to the level that they have.
I totally get where Joe Maddon's coming from there, talking about Mike Trout. Because, first of all, you get him back, he gets to have a normal offseason, he's got that confidence, he comes into spring training, nothing to worry about. That, I mean, that's a huge advantage, if that can be the case. Because if he doesn't come back before the end of the season, what's every question come spring training? You're wondering still about Trout. So I can understand that. At the same time, you're balancing, if he's not ready to come back, there's no need to push him back. Like, why would you? You know, you need this guy. He's so important, so talented, and so meaningful to everything that you're doing. I mean, he's the centerpiece of this whole thing. So you need Mike Trout. And you wouldn't want to do anything that could potentially extend this time where he's missing if that were to go into next season. You can't let that happen. So that's why you're careful. Like, if you bring back Trout too soon, he gets re-injured, he misses next year or any time next year. Whew. That can't happen. So that's why the Angels are being so careful. Of course, that's why they're being so careful. I don't know that that needs to be said, but I said it anyway. You know, Mike is so important. He's the centerpiece to the whole thing. And as you're bringing young guys up, I do think that this opens the door for opportunity for young guys to get here. But I would also say this as well, and Joe Maddon has talked a lot about this, and I think it's an important note. That it's, you know, I mentioned this a moment ago, but you got to earn it here. When you come to the major leagues, it's not just, you're not trying to fill out a roster. You're not trying to just, you know, you got a rotation, we got a spot open, okay, we'll just throw this guy up. No. You got to earn it. And you got to be pretty dang good to get here. You got to be pretty dang good to get to high A ball, let alone the major leagues. Okay? So you look at, you know, the guys that are getting chances here, you got to perform here, but it's not just the performance part. It's the other stuff. And that, you know, Joe says he's watching that. Perry says he's watching that, that there is more to the evaluation than simply just results. I mentioned the, you know, the Reed Detmers example the other day. I mentioned, you know, Chris Rodriguez on Monday. The example that comes with that. I just think that there is the possibility for these guys to get that taste here. But then everybody is fighting for a job come spring training. And I don't think that's a bad culture to have. I think it's a good culture. I think it means you have a culture that has depth. And hey, growing up in Southern California, early 2000s, I'm a big college football fan. USC, so dominant those years. And what was the Pete Carroll mantra? Competition breeds excellence. No job is safe. No job is guaranteed. You got to fight, compete, earn it. This is the highest level. This is the pinnacle. You get here, it's about getting the job done. Who is going to perform? Who is going to win? There's no handouts at the major league level. This is not, you know, you come to the major leagues, it's not charity. You have to earn it. And you have to fight and grind and compete. And yeah, we talk about the business and sometimes it's cutthroat. You know what? It is. That's just the nature of baseball. That's the nature of sports. That's the nature of business. That's the nature of life sometimes. Here at the big leagues, like, if you don't perform, you can't stay. And if you don't earn it in, you know, the minor leagues, or if you don't earn it in camp, if you don't earn the opportunity, then it's going to be hard to accomplish anything. I know that's what Joe Maddon believes. And I think it's good. I think especially if you have so many talented young pitchers that they are fighting every day, competing with each other, making each other better. What's the old phrase? Iron sharpens iron. There you go. That's what you need. You know, we had Frank Tanana on a couple of weeks ago. And you know, you talk about Frank Tanana and the unbelievable career he had, and the stuff was just insane. I mean, I didn't get a chance to ever watch him pitch live, but I've talked to a lot of people that have, you know, and the stuff was real. Nolan Ryan gets all the credit because, I mean, he just blew it by everybody. I mean, and Nolan was amazing, but those guys really pushed each other. And sure, they got along, you know, they were friends, you know, but at the same, they also competed with each other too. And I think that that's a really good environment. That's an environment that can lead to a lot of success. And I look at this Angels group right now, especially with the young pitchers, and that fires me up. It fires me up because, and I also think that these guys are wired like that. You know, you also look at, like, if you're not mentally cut out for that, then what's going to happen when you got the bases loaded, one out in the fourth inning, and you're facing George Springer? Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to buckle? Are you going to buckle, give up a grand slam, lose the ball game? Or are you going to do everything you do to keep that ball on the ground, get a double play ball, and get out of the inning? What are you going to do in those moments? Because that's a character-revealing moment. And I think that when you're in competition all the time and you're fighting with your teammates to get better and improve together, then you have those opportunities. Then you get to a moment like that in a game, in a major league game, trying to win, taking on the best offensive team in the American League, according to the numbers, in the Toronto Blue Jays. And you're able to get out of it. And by the way, if you don't get Springer, then you got Vladdy Jr. right behind him. Enjoy. Good luck. How about that? Chris Rodriguez buckled down and got through it. Okay, it was only four innings. You would have liked to have seen him go longer. Sure. Absolutely. No doubt. But to get out of that moment right there, it takes some guts. And it shows that he's got that fight. And that's what you want to see. And I look at all of the pitchers that I have talked about here on this podcast, you know, here today, you know, all the young guys, Detmers, Rodriguez, Sandoval, Suarez, Barria, those five, they are all gamers. They all have that upstairs. They all have that mental grit, toughness to go fight and compete and go earn it. Go find a way to win. And I think those are the things that you look for. I think that's the difference in separating somebody that has the talent to be an elite major league pitcher and someone that actually becomes an elite major league pitcher. Man, time and time again, all over the game, I've seen a lot of guys with great, great stuff. And you can't figure out why it doesn't happen at the major league level. And then Barria is a perfect example. Barria's stuff is not at the level of most pitchers in the major leagues. It's just not. But that guy competes, and he's a good pitcher. He's not the best thrower in the league, but he's a very good pitcher, and he finds ways to get guys out. He's a gamer. You love that. I mean, that's like I'm watching Alex Manoah the other night for Toronto. I mean, that guy's a gamer. You like that. And then, you know, he's fearless. He goes right after guys. Okay, he got burned giving up the home run to Shohei Ohtani. But what happens when there's a broken bat coming right at his face, doesn't even flinch, picks up the ball, goes to the ground, and then fires off a throw over to first to get a speedy runner in Phil Gosselin? And that's an impressive thing to do. You look for guys like that. People like that are special. And you don't see a ton of it in Major League Baseball. You don't see a lot of it anywhere. But watch these Angel young guys. Watch these young pitchers in this club. You'll see that. You'll see that fire. You'll see that spirit. You'll see that edge. You like that. And that is part of why I'm so excited about what is to come with this Angels team. We don't know how it's going to pan out. Like, we don't know. And that's what this evaluation process is. Nobody has that answer right now. But these are the kind of things you look for in moments like this. Looking the rest of the way for what the Angels can be. I love it. I don't want to hear anybody say, oh, the Angels are done. Why would I watch? They're a game under 500. Forget that. There's a lot to watch. And this, to me, is as interesting as anything, seeing how these guys are going to develop. And Joe is giving them the opportunity to do it. Perry Minozzi is giving them the opportunity to do it. It's really cool. It's a treat. And you're going to find out what you got. Hey, big leagues are sink or swim. And it's fun. I love it. All right, that's going to just about do it for us here on the Angels Recap Podcast. I guess it's time for me to get off the soapbox. I want to thank Hannah Stang for all her help behind the scenes getting this thing up. Alex Tigno as well. My name is Trent Rush. Hey, thanks to all of you for joining us here. This podcast coming out on Thursday. Maybe a chance to get to the ballpark to see some history tonight when the league leader in home runs is on the mound facing the guy that's number two in home runs who will be at the plate in Vladdy Jr. Hey, the MVP of the American League is playing in this game tonight. I happen to think it's a sure thing. It's going to be Shohei Ohtani. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. fans probably think otherwise. But by the way, just real quick, all respect to Vladdy Jr. You know, because of his father and his affiliation to Angels baseball and what Vladdy Sr. meant to Angels baseball, I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I wish that guy all the best. With the exception of like seven games a year when the Angels and the Blue Jays get together. But other than that, the other 155, I am like the world's biggest Vladdy Jr. fan. I hope that this guy continues to excel and have the success he is having. Hey, I'm Trent Rush. Have a great rest of your day. This has been the Angels Recap Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.